Chevy Equinox with forward collision alert, automatic emergency braking, and available all-wheel drive. It's my ultimate mobile device. Go to ChevyDriveChicago.com to schedule a test drive. Chevy Equinox. It's your choice. Own it.
So is Alderman Ray Lopez. He is joining the show now. And a lot going on. I want to get to some of this stuff. I want to ask you what you think about the New York mandate, Alderman Lopez. But I love following you on Twitter. You're a good follow because there's only you share a lot. It's R. Lopez, 15th Ward, and you share city commentary, life in the city, city council happenings, and then life lessons. I like this one here. Never argue with someone on Twitter who has fewer followers than fingers. That's a good rule, I think. How are you?
I am good, and happy Tuesday to you, Anna, and all your listeners. Yes, never get into an argument on Twitter with someone who doesn't have more followers than fingers. That is a great rule to live by.
Great rule of thumb, and I found quite a good percentage of those happen to be fake accounts. We do learn that to be true as well. Yep. So it's the nameless, faceless sort of five-follower person that seems to be doing a lot of stirring up on Twitter. Can I get your reaction to what New York is doing? Nothing like that proposed here. Dr. Arwady and Mayor Lightfoot both spoke out today that we're not doing mandates, we're doing recommendations on masks. But in New York, people haven't heard the news. The mayor there, Mayor de Blasio, said if you go into a restaurant, you go into a gym, you're going to have to show proof of vaccination, and we're expecting all of those businesses to enforce it. What do you think?
You know, I think, you know, having spoken with some restaurant owners earlier today, you know, they like the idea of a mandate because it puts everyone on the same page. Every restaurant has to comply regardless of what their views are on vaccines. But I think that we're losing sight of the fact that rather than punish those who have actually done what was socially responsible and get vaccinated, we're ignoring the fact that large segments of our communities are not vaccinated. And I have been very critical about Lori Lightfoot and her administration of vaccines in some of those key neighborhoods, like the ones that I represent, of Back of the Yards and West Englewood in particular, where those numbers are still low, but our partners and our hospitals and our outreach has been abysmal. So why should we hold them responsible when we have not done everything we could to ensure that they have the access to the vaccine if they're so inclined to take it?
Are you talking about largely Black and Hispanic communities?
Absolutely. I mean, if you look at the map of Chicago's neighborhoods, you see overwhelmingly that the African American and Latino communities are severely underrepresented when it comes to vaccination rates. And that is in large part because of access. And unfortunately, we've seen where parts of the city, even the city itself, have refused to fully engage the community and all partners, focusing on that kind of not-for-profit patronage in terms of doling out contracts to do the outreach while not necessarily providing the results that we need. And I think we need to double back, make sure everyone has access, and then let the chips fall where they may after that before we start imposing sanctions and other things on businesses and residents.
Alderman Lopez, let me ask you this. You talk to people in your community. You're saying you've got a lot of people who are vaccine hesitant. What are the reasons? What are they telling you when you talk to them, why they're not doing it?
Well, I think there's a lot of misinformation when it comes to the vaccines. And because the city was not very proactive in the very beginning, that they didn't confront a lot of the misinformation and disinformation, you know, all of that negative perception has allowed to cement in people's minds, and now they are hesitant at going forward. And I think, too, the great misunderstanding that the mayor and Dr. Arwady had was that not everyone has access to health care. You know, the messaging from the very beginning was that, you know, we'll help you, but you should go to your primary physician first. Most people don't have primary physicians now as a result of COVID and the shutdown and the loss of employment. And we should have just been making it available wherever and whenever people congregated, whether that was at restaurants, bars, and things of that nature, just as we did during the AIDS pandemic when we realized that we had to meet people where they were and not just expect them to go where we wanted them to be.
Well, let me ask you about that, because just a week or two ago, you heard the city announce, hey, we're no longer going to have United Center. We're not having these Max Vax centers all over town. We're going to move to the communities. We're going to go to local faith-based leaders. We're going to go to community centers, respected folks in the communities to try to help us get the word out that these are safe and you should do it. And I just wonder, how's that working? Because those are in your communities, right? They got to be really, you know, all over the place.
You know, no disrespect to those in the faith-based community and those partners that you try to pick on, but you cannot reinvent the wheel mid-pandemic. You know, we have certain structures in place that we know work. Case in point, we have aldermanic offices that know how to do vaccination events because we've been doing flu shot vaccines for decades through the ward offices. And you can't just chuck that out the window and say, we're going to find a new partner to work with and figure out how this works as we go along. You need to go with what works, and unfortunately, the mayor's refusal to do that has led us to a point where people no longer feel confident in their ability to get a vaccine, are not able to get a vaccine without endangering other people, as we've seen when the mayor sends people to the community colleges miles away from their own neighborhood on public transportation. You know, a lot of missteps have been made simply because, you know, the mayor's trying to reinvent the wheel as opposed to listening to those who know what it takes to get this job done locally with minimal exposure.
Yeah. I know you and Mayor Lightfoot see eye to eye on virtually nothing. I mean, the policies that both of you propose, and we know this is true, and I'm going to point that out.
Both agree. Lori and I both agree the sun rises in the east.
Okay. You got that going for you. I'm glad you found something, because you two.
Common ground comes somewhere.
But what would you do? Okay, you're mayor for a day. Put that hat on. What do?
Well, I think first off, I would activate all the aldermanic offices throughout the city of Chicago and make them vaccination sites. First and foremost, every ward has done vaccines through CDPH for the flu for nearly a decade. And we know we can activate that resource immediately. It's in every neighborhood throughout the city of Chicago. People know where they're all in and out. They know how to get those resources. And we would immediately make them available, if not once a week, at least twice a week, so that people, whoever wants to get vaccinated, can go locally and get that done. I think you have to put more emphasis on the accessibility of vaccination as opposed to the buttoning down for those who have not gotten vaccinated.
Yeah,
we have to avoid the lockdown scenario and focus on how we maintain openness. And the only way we maintain openness and business viability is by ensuring that vaccination numbers rise in every community.
Alderman Lopez, I don't know. I feel like you pass by how many places day to day, no matter what neighborhood you're in, where you can get vaccinated. I mean, maybe that's not true in your ward, but I feel like across the city that there are signs up, there are places to go, every CVS and Walgreens, you've got, they're in every neighborhood. You could stop by and get one, and it's free.
Well, I think that in many communities, you see that there are places to go. However, in a number of communities, you may have pop-ups, but people don't necessarily trust them. And not in every community, you don't have Walgreens or CVS's to go to. You know, we've seen a lot of them close over the years. And unfortunately, that has led to pharmaceutical deserts, which we all acknowledge. And that doesn't give you the opportunity to get vaccinated.
All right. We're going to leave that there. I don't know if I agree with you about the accessibility as much, but certainly getting the information out there and the importance of doing it, that's there. That is there, and I appreciate those efforts. Hey, Alderman, can you hang out with us here? We've got a number of questions about crime, the city. I understand the Chicago Police Department just told aldermen in high crime districts that, you know, you're going to get some help. I know you've been asking for more help. You're going to get it in the form of rookies graduating from the academy, but if you want veterans, it may take years to bring you up to the kinds of levels you saw in the past. So I want to ask you to weigh in on that. Can you hang out?
Anything for you, Anna. You know, you got me.
Thank you, Alderman Lopez. I appreciate it. I really want to know what you have to say about that. But we got to pause for just a minute here. We're having a conversation here with Alderman Ray Lopez, 15th Ward. We were talking about health and vaccines and city mandates and all that stuff. And I know you don't agree with that happening. You'd like to get the word out and more people vaccinated. And I'm sure a lot of aldermen and city leaders would. Here's something else, though. Got to ask you about this. Crime is top of mind for so many in the city. I'm sure you hear that as an alderman. My text line is filling up now with people asking about crime. Ask him about crime. We're going to ask you about crime. Police told aldermen high crime districts would get help as rookies graduate from the academy, but it could take years to get South and West Side districts to proper levels. And University of Chicago Crime Lab model is calling for a faster, more widespread approach using veteran cops, too. Those are in short supply, and they're retiring like crazy. What do you know about this?
Well, I think definitely we have an issue when it comes to the fact that in many of our high crime districts, you know, first and foremost, we must remember that police districts are bidded positions. So officers, once they're off probation, have the option to bid in or out of any district that has openings or availability. So it's very difficult for us to force officers into a certain district unless we open up the availability or unless we close transfers out of a particular district. And I know, for example, in one of my districts, the 7th District, which is the Englewood District, you know, the commander and I there at one point had closed transfers out of that district, I think back in 2016 or early 2017, so that we could not only retain the institutional knowledge and experience that we had among our officers in that district, but also only open it up to incoming individuals who wanted to transfer there as well. So I think we have to start looking at some creative scheduling and bid opportunities when it comes to our officers to try to balance out without having to go necessarily to a full-blown realignment that I know so many of my colleagues want to see.
Yeah, I hear that. And you think that is a near-term kind of answer? Does that happen? How quickly can that happen?
That can happen within a month. I think if we look at some of the high-crime districts and if we were to say, for example, that we were to cancel all transfers out and end that bidding process for that and only open up new openings in those districts, that it would mitigate some of the issues that we're seeing right now. What we don't want to see is a situation where we have a district with high crime, high activity, and low experience among officers. We need fresh faces, but we also need them to learn from individuals who know the beat, know how to respond, and who instinctually have learned how to de-escalate situations. And you want to have people with experience teaching those without those key aspects so that whether they stay in that district or move on later, they know how to deal with these things correctly thanks to the experience of their peers.
Experience is something that seems to be harder and harder to come by. I mean, you know this as well as anybody. Let's face it, officer retirements are on the rise. 540 retired last year, and yet the recent graduating classes from the academy were 50, I want to say, and 22. That isn't replacing it. Plus, I'm hearing that this new rank-and-file police contract that finally got done after 4.5 years, what that's going to mean, I'm being told from rank-and-file officers who are approaching 20 years or got 20 years or more, they're looking to look at that as they're going to get a lot of back pay, a big check, and that bye-bye, they're gone. Are you hearing that?
Well, we do know that is a fair assessment, and we do know that right now in this climate where politicians and leaders continuously demonize our officers, we know that people are looking for an avenue out. They're tired of being labeled as the enemy of the people, even though we know that they are the sons and daughters of the city of Chicago. And it's understandable. And I think that is something that I know I and FOP President John Cantanzaro and others have discussed. How do we incentivize people to continue to stay working for the city of Chicago in the police department? How do we, until we can do an about face with the climate, how do we encourage people not to abandon hope that the city will have their back moving forward? And that is a conversation that I think is long overdue. We have to look at what we can do to incentivize people, particularly those who are many years in service and want to leave early from doing that. I think we've talked and discussed some issues such as allowing possible waivers for residency for 20-plus year members of the force so that they continue to stay so that we don't lose their institutional knowledge. We've looked at things that we could do to incentivize younger members. And I think those are valid conversations to have moving forward so that we do not continue to see the experience and training drain on our police department that clearly the mayor of Chicago, Lori Lightfoot, has no intention of filling at any near point in time.
Yeah, I think it is troubling. It's very troubling if you in this environment that people don't want to be police officers and you want the best to be in that position. You do. You also want veteran Absolutely. Officers to mix with the new rookies who can understand the new systems and learn the new systems from a blank slate. I get that. That mix is ultimately what helps us, what helps bridge these relationships with the communities of color in particular that you represent. To try to get us to that point of trust where people are cooperating with police investigations again and that we have an effective representative of the community police force. I mean, it's where we need to be.
Without question, we have to evolve, and we evolve through each other with younger recruits learning from experience of their more experienced colleagues. I don't want to say older, but their more experienced colleagues, and older police officers learning to be more adaptive and open to new change by their newer colleagues. You know, we have to adapt, but we have to still remember that officers are doing the job that nobody else wants to do, and that is rush into danger when the shots are being fired. And we have to find a way to balance that moving forward, because we cannot continue to demonize the police. We cannot continue to chastise them for the job that they have to do when you call them to be there. And at the same time, as we continue to do that, we have to find ways to make sure that they do it in a way that they feel that they are valued by the city of Chicago, not just for the job that they do, but for the part of the community that they are.
Mm-hmm. You posted something on Twitter, I think is related. I'm not sure I totally understood the video. Maybe you can describe it to us. But it's a video, it looks like police, thousands of people have viewed it, retweeted it, liked it. And it seems like it's a video of police apprehending some suspects. What point are you trying to make? What does it show?
So anyone can go to my Twitter, R. Lopez 15th Ward, and view the video. I think it's been viewed almost 30,000 times as of last check. And it's of a group of officers trying to apprehend young suspects. They look small in stature, young, I'm assuming, because I can't really tell. But you see the officers struggling, being attacked, and ultimately hesitating as they're trying to apprehend the suspect. Handcuffs are lost, body cam is ripped off the officer's chest, and people recording this are mocking that they have the handcuffs in their hand, that they have the body cam in their hand, and they're encouraging others to continue to pummel the police officers. And the point of sharing that is that it shows that between the bad decisions of Kim Fox and the bad policies of Lori Lightfoot, our officers are, during real-world situations, hesitating in their decision-making process while trying to apprehend individuals. And that hesitation that they have is dangerous, because they are stopping to think whether or not they are following the proper procedures, following something that could get them in trouble or terminated or worse. And in this video, the offenders only grab the handcuffs. What would have happened if that offender would have reached for the police officer's gun off his belt and decided to try and take aim at the officers? You know, that is a very dangerous scenario that is playing itself out day in and day out throughout the city of Chicago. That hesitation and second guessing of our officers by themselves, trying to figure out how to move forward. And it is my hope that we take a moment and accept that as we move forward, so that we can see what we need to do to ensure that officers know exactly what they need to do in these situations to protect themselves and the public, so that hesitation doesn't cost them harm or their life.
Check it out if you'd like to see it. You posted it. It's R. Lopez, 15th Ward. And I know you have a lot of comments. As you say, 30,000 people have already looked at it. And you posted it, what, last night, Alderman?
Last night, yes. And I believe me, I thought about it long and hard before I posted it, because I don't like the idea of encouraging people to fight with our officers. Clearly, this video, you know, parts of me wonder if part of this was intentional, because we see now more and more people are intentionally antagonizing the police in order to become TikTok, YouTube, or Twitter famous.
Yeah.
But I think we also have to start recognizing that all of that is imperiling the lives of our officers and destroying the safety of our communities. And we have to start pushing back. We have to start identifying whose bad little children these are and holding them and their parents accountable. This isn't a game. This is safety, and these are officers' lives who are on the line as these children get out of hand and push the envelope further and further. And at one point, it's going to crack. The envelope's going to rip, and we're not going to like the outcome. And I don't want to hear from the parent about their, you know, little angel who just happened to be beating up on the police officer and got shot when he pulled the officer's gun.
Lopez, I gotta run to get to the news, but I appreciate the time, and enjoy the rest of your day today, and get out and get in that beautiful weather as well. But interesting perspective on all this stuff. So thanks for the time.
Anna, National Night Out is tonight. I encourage all your listeners to go out and support the police and law enforcement this evening.
Thank you, sir.